Before we go on to our next speaker, I would like to do a quick poll. Who did know all the things that you have learned so far today about what's going on at Vanderbilt? Raise your hand. All right, that's great. So the purpose of the event is fulfilling itself. With that, I would like to go to our next speaker, who is Keith, and I hope I pronounce your last name correctly, Luzo?
That's pretty good. You said Loiso.
Loiso?
Loiso.
Loiso, okay. He is an architect for the campus planning and construction, and there's a few cool things about him. He has a greenhouse that he built himself, or at least, is that what you would call like a greenhouse or
yes.
An energy environmental friendly house that features solar orientation, cooling chimneys, reused and recycled materials, as well as energy and water saving features. But more importantly, he has been instrumental in Vanderbilt's efforts to develop environmental friendly buildings, buildings that will be LEED certified, and I'm sure you're going to talk a little bit about what that means, get the LEED certification. It's a very high standard for buildings in regard to energy efficiency and environmental advantages. So maybe without any further introduction, I will give the word to you.
Okay, I have lots of pictures. So I'm Keith Loiso. I'm an architect with Vanderbilt Campus Planning, and I'm going to talk about kind of the history of building here at Vanderbilt and what we're doing nowadays with our construction. So it's hard to look at TV or pick up a newspaper without seeing something about green building. It's an important topic because buildings use a lot of our resources as far as water. They contribute to CO2 emissions. They contribute a lot to the waste output, and they actually consume about 70% of the electricity used in the country. So the U.S. Green Building Council has come up with a LEED rating system. It stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and it's basically a way to design and construct buildings that are sustainable. Scores are tallied in different aspects of efficiency and design, and the main categories are site planning, water management, energy management, material use, indoor environmental quality, and innovation in design. So a way to think about it is kind of how we see our food organized. So you can look at real quickly at information and see what's in a green building. So Vanderbilt has always been a long-term owner of buildings. We're not like developers where we'll build a building and then sell it in 15, 20, 25 years. We have a tendency to own buildings a long time. Therefore, we do quality construction. We use durable materials. We utilize efficient central utilities. And we've always had a focus on energy efficiency and maintainability in buildings. We first started using green building principles, I guess it was in the late 90s here on campus. But the concept of sustainable buildings is basically just good design. So all good designs have certain qualities of sustainability in them. It's when you really take a more holistic approach and combine all of those aspects. And that's really what the LEED system does for us. Also, it integrates building systems. So as an example, if you increase efficiency of the exterior skin of a building, then you can reduce the size of the mechanical system that serves it. So by integrating all these systems together, you're able to achieve great efficiencies. And this building is Fotheringill Hall, and we actually started design on this building in 1998. The building is not LEED certified, but it very easily could be. It used a lot of the same green building concepts. So we started looking at all of our typical campus buildings, and we found that most of our buildings are pretty close to being LEED standard anyway. And we found that we could achieve LEED certification in buildings without really a lot of extensive planning or without major cost increases to the projects. So Vanderbilt does transition to LEED buildings. One of the major factors that was mentioned earlier is the Speer Group. They actually requested the LEED certified buildings of the administration and made a very strong argument. Also, sustainable design and construction practices have become more mainstream. I guess 5-8 years ago, it was unusual. People didn't know much about it. Now the practices, both with designers and with contractors, is much more familiar. And also, the products that go into a green building have become much more mainstream too and more economical. And then also, we found by a third-party verification that it really ensures quality in the buildings. That's looked at in several ways. One is the commissioning aspects of buildings, where it's a way of checking to make sure that the design was done properly, and then when it's built, that it performs like it was designed. And of course, the LEED certification is also a third-party verification, so that we know that we're getting good quality buildings. So our first green buildings on campus are focused on at the Commons site, the new freshman campus. And of this, there's the buildings that are labeled A, B, C, D are five dormitories that are new buildings. Those buildings are, two of those have already been certified silver, and then the other three are in the process of being certified. Also, Gillette Hall is a major renovation that it's been submitted for LEED Silver, and the Commons Dining Center is also on track, and it looks like we're going to be certifying that building or submitting it for a gold certification. So here's a photo of both Sutherland and Crawford Halls, and they have achieved LEED Silver. It's kind of interesting because we started with just the goal of doing a basic certified building, but we found by really focusing the design teams on the process that we're able to achieve silver on these buildings without a lot of additional effort. And on the Commons Center, again, it had a goal of just doing a certified building, and we actually, looks like we may get gold on it. So I'm gonna talk a little about the features of the Commons Center, since it's a project I worked on, I'm most familiar with. And it's just an example of one of the green buildings on campus. So how many people have been to the Commons Center? So it looks like most people have. It's really a nice building, but it's mainly a dining hall. It has common spaces in it. It has academic support, a lot of other post office copy center and other support areas in the building. But here's the category, sustainable sites. These are some of the features that we did. One is reclaimed land. Where there was once a parking lot, we were able to put a lawn in. And that reduces the amount of runoff. It also reduces the amount of heat island effect that builds up on the hard surfaces. Of course, the alternative transportation. We provide places for bikes and also showers in the building for people that work there that commute to the building. And of course, the other incentives that we've heard about on campus for transportation. Construction waste management. We're able to recycle almost 70% of all the construction waste off the project. And when we tore down the existing Hill Center that was there, we actually recycled more than 70% of that building. Reflective surfaces. This reduces the heat island effect or the heat gain that builds up on surfaces. You can see all the white roofs on the complex, and even the walkways are done in a light color to reflect heat. The Commons Center has a third floor shell space. This is kind of a really good use of the building. We actually added an additional floor to the building, knowing that it would be built out in the future, and this further maximizes the site. water efficiency. It's estimated that we'll save 900,000 gallons of potable water per year with the building. We're using proximity sensor faucets, waterless urinals, dual flush toilets. We have a very efficient dishwashing system, both in water efficiency and in energy. Energy and atmosphere. It looks like we'll be saving 28% of the energy used by a similar building, and this was done through calculations through energy modeling. We have high-performance glass that actually reflects heat out in the summertime, and it holds heat in the wintertime. Daylight harvesting. This is our unique feature in the building, and we have so much natural daylight that comes in. Sensors will read the level of daylight and turn off the artificial lights in the building to save energy. Efficient kitchen hoods, high efficiency lighting, ozone friendly refrigerants, programmable sunshades. We actually have sunshades that come down and they're on a timer, and they'll block the both the glare and the heat gain into the spaces depending on the time of the day. Materials and resources. Reused sandstone pavers. This is pavers that were on the existing Hill Center that we're able to salvage and store on site and then reuse on the new building. We also reuse library chairs. These came out of the Heard Library, and I'm not sure what their feature was, but I think they may have been salvaged or maybe even thrown away, but we were able to incorporate them into the new building. And these chairs will probably hold up better than the new furniture that we've purchased for the building, even though these are probably 50 years old. Regional materials. So we tried to specify materials that are within 500 miles of the site to reduce in the transportation costs and the impact of transportation. Recycling in the building. So recycled content materials, like the steel in the building, is typically a 95% recycled content. The drywall is actually a 99% recycled content. And the carpet is a high recycled content also. Building reuse. Part of the old Hill Center houses the data center for ITS, and we were actually able to keep that section of the building and keep the data center up and running while we tore down the building around it and built a new building up in its place. Indoor environmental quality. So we have an indoor, basically a construction management plan where we cover ductwork and store materials off the ground to keep moisture away. And we were able to implement this through the whole construction process. The daylight and views, that's one of the things I noticed as I walked through the building, is you just feel how open it is because of the natural daylight that comes through, and you always have your orientation to the outside by the views and the trees that you see. Of course, all university buildings are smoke-free. Used low VOC adhesives and paints. So this is the organic compounds that off-gas from materials, and so we tried to specify materials that are very low VOC. As a matter of fact, some of them are even much lower than required by the U.S. Green Building Council. So innovation and design is a category that encourages projects to come up with unique ideas that's outside of the standard LEED rating system. And so one example of that is we're collecting the condensate that comes off of the air conditioning coils in the building, and then we're pumping it back to charge the water that's evaporated out of the cooling towers. We also have a LEED interactive kiosk in the building, and for people that haven't visited this, it's really neat to check out. It's a touchscreen that allows people to learn about the green features in the building, and it even has a tour that can be downloaded that through an MP3 player or an iPod, where people can take a tour of the building and there's signage that talks about all the features as you walk through the building. So we also have operational benefits. dining has really been on board, so they're using almost all hard china. They're really discouraging any to-go packaging to keep the waste down so all this can be washed. Of course, the on-site composting that Brent talked about earlier. Healthy lifestyles. Cardboard baler. Brent mentioned that earlier, that the students wanted to get this at RAND, and we were able to work it into this project. Green cleaning. Biodiesel, this is Derek's project. So Derek and his group are collecting the used vegetable oil out of the dining services and then refining it to be used on campus vehicles. And we have a pulper. This is kind of interesting. All the food waste and scraps go into this pulper where it's ground up into a slurry. It's then pumped to the basement to an extractor where it slings out all the water, and it reduces the amount of waste to 1/10 of what its normal volume would be that's leaving the building. So this is just some of the lessons we learned through this process, is to start the planning early. And it's good to work with a motivated, qualified team. And then also the lead process has a lot to do with documentation. It's important to collect that documentation as you're going through the project and not trying to get it after the fact. So for more information, I recommend, of course, the SustainVU website, the Commons website, or the U.S. Green Building Council website.